Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be talking about is Lisa Frankenstein. It's directed by Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter, by the way. Coolest fucking name ever. Anyways, written by Diablo Cody, starring Catherine Newton as Lisa, Cole Sprouse as the creature, and Liza Soberano as Taffy. The plot of this movie is a coming-of-rage love story about a teenager and her crush, who happens to be a corpse. After a set of horrific circumstances bring him back to life, the two embark on a journey to find love, happiness, and a few missing body parts. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out, support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Lisa Frankenstein?
So I was really skeptical about this one the moment you recommended we watch it, because I checked out the trailer and I was like, this looks dumb. But it was definitely a lot of fun and I'm glad I watched it. I don't really think it was a horror movie, but it did have a lot of cool kills and the music was really great throughout the film. The music they played in each scene really played a big part in the storytelling of it, I thought.
Oh, absolutely. Some of the scenes, especially the scene where the guy got his dick cut off later in the in the movie.
Yeah.
And like the music that they would have him playing during that, I was fucking dying laughing because music sometimes makes scenes so much better. I mean, there's plenty of scenes in Deadpool, for instance, where they're good, but as soon as you add like Celine Dion or something in the movie, fucking just makes it absolutely absurd. So music really does help with some of these more ridiculous scenes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it helped tell the story because the songs they chose during these scenes just was perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah. I, too, was a little skeptical on it because when I was looking at the trailer, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. It looks like it's a horror, but a like rom-com at the same time type deal. So I was like, this might be more of a dark comedy over a like straight up horror movie. But because of the horror elements to it, I would classify it as like a horror, but maybe like on the lighter side. I wouldn't say it's exactly like scary or anything like that. It's just absolutely ridiculous and violent and like a love story.
Yeah, and I mean, it's rated PG-13, so I mean, obviously they couldn't do a ton, but...
Wait, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. I could have swore it was like rated R. I would think it'd be rated R with like, you know, the kills and the blood everywhere and stuff.
So, they got away with a lot for PG-13, but...
You're right. You know, though, back in the old days, like in the 1970s when Jaws came out, I think Jaws was 76, 78, something like that. But that was rated PG, just parental guidance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, since then, I think they implemented the PG-13. So Jaws probably would have fallen more in the lines of like now would be PG-13 or R. But back then it was regular PG. I mean, like nearly every Disney movie that comes out is a friggin' PG. So it's crazy to see that this is PG-13 because I think this could have passed as R. Maybe because there was like no swears whatsoever.
Yeah. Did you notice that this is the second week in a row we've reviewed a Catherine Newton movie?
You're right. It is. But dude, I think she's like one of the new Scream Queens, like the top four, you know, like
she
the four horsewomen of Scream Queens.
Yeah, she absolutely should be. She's great.
She's awesome. I've liked a lot of movies that she's done. I don't know her full catalog, right? I know she was in Freaky. Loved that movie. That was fun. I watched that a few times, actually.
Yeah, well, we kind of talked about her career in the last episode, Abigail.
We don't need to discuss this then.
No. If you want to hear it, go listen to the Abigail episode.
There you go. Yeah, go listen to that episode because we talked all about her and we're just continuing the discussion this week. So I think she's great. I would love to meet her at like a con someday because she's starting to do conventions now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's doing Spooky Empire or something like that, I think I saw. Mm. So naturally,
maybe she'll be at Silver Scream.
That would be cool. I would love to meet her and just be like, you're fucking fun as shit, aren't you?
Yo, speaking of which, did you hear that Jamie Kennedy got announced for Silver Scream?
I did see that.
I wonder if they're going to do a Scream thing.
Ooh, baby. Sign me the fuck up.
Give me David Arquette and Neve Campbell.
I'll just say, David Arquette, my favorite movie of yours is C-Spot Run.
I just want to talk to him about getting his throat slit by Nick Gage.
Oh, my God. He'd probably be like, I don't want to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about... He got a mattress, or he sent Nick Gage a mattress out of that.
Oh, because he was sleeping in like on the ground or some bullshit, right?
No, because it was like an apology for the way he acted toward when Nick slit his neck.
What?
Yeah, there's. I listened to a podcast with Nick Gage about it. David Arquette actually sent him a mattress.
Interesting. Wait, no, did Nick Gage, like, he didn't have, like, anything to sleep on, right? I could have swore I heard something like that.
I don't know. It was either in the Dark Side of the Ring episode about Nick Gage or the David Arquette documentary that he talked about it.
Yep.
But yeah, Nick was like, yeah, I have it still wrapped in plastic in my spare bedroom.
Fuck yeah. Hey, just keep it as a memento.
Yeah.
So every time I hear the word, like, or hear the name Nick Gage, dude, it takes me all my might to not say Nick Cage.
Uh-huh. Yep. Same.
All the time. I'm like, I have to constantly stop myself every time we talk about Nick Gage.
They're two very different people.
They are very, very different people.
Although I hear that movie Long Legs is amazing. I saw a guy that saw a screener of it. You heard about that, right?
Yeah, well, we got to get that screener.
Dude, that one is up there for me this year for sure.
Well, let's make it happen because fucking Nick Cage. Nick Cage.
As a serial killer.
As a serial killer. Now we're talking Nick Cage as opposed to Nick Gage. Nick Cage, he's been killing it in these, like, horror movies. I feel like he kind of drifted away from, like, the bigger movies, and he's starting to do the smaller roles, you know, smaller independent-type films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's all over the place.
He really is all over.
How do we get Nick
Cage place
on this podcast?
I think we just have to, I don't know, fund a movie of his for $500.
Oh, yeah, okay. With all the money we make doing this.
I know. Hey, we got paid. We got a payment for our sponsor, Beard Octane. We got fucking like $27 in. So it's going towards business cards.
Yes. Oh, that's right. We're going to be doing some promotion at a tattoo convention for anyone that's in the New England area.
Yep. We're going to be at Live Free or Dare Fist.
Live Free or Dare Fest?
Live Free or Dare. Tattoo Fest.
Dick or Jerbs.
Dick or Jerbs. Now, the Live Free or Die Tattoo Expo, actually one of the sponsors for this expo. So yeah, we'll be at the Live Free or Die Tattoo Expo on July 26th through 28th. So if you're in the New England area and you want to go and check out a bunch of tattoo artists, we'll be there. We'll be hanging out.
Yeah, I believe it's the biggest tattoo convention in the Northeast, so...
I have never been. I just always see, like, photos or videos, and especially, like, the girl that's always hanging around by hooks.
Yeah, it's a good time. More power to the people that do that stuff, but it's hard to watch.
Dude, it's crazy because, you know, the hooks go in, and they go in pretty fucking deep because, mm-hmm. like, you really have to get in there, and, like, you're almost at that fucking, the meaty part, right, where you're, like, near muscle, and somehow our bodies are just strong enough to be like, yeah, we're good. We'll just fucking hold it.
It'll heal. It's fine.
It'll heal. But you know what that reminds me of? You ever see the movie Strangeland?
With Dee Snider, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. I don't know if it holds up now because of the whole technology deal. Like, it was way different then, you know, with chat rooms and how the video quality looked in it. Way different.
Yeah, it's much different.
It is so much different. We've definitely improved. But if you watch that movie, you're probably going to be like, what the fuck? Wow, no. We actually lived like this.
Nah, I'm never watching it again.
I probably will. Somewhere... I bought a VHS copy of it, and this was like a long time ago when like DVDs weren't even really coming out yet, or they maybe were starting to come out, but VHS was still there. So I bought a VHS version, and I put the thing in, all black and white, the whole thing. I'm like, what the fuck did I buy? That was probably a rare one that it has since been lost. Who knows? The thing probably could have been worth money. Probably could have sold it for a few $100.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right. Well, I don't know where it is. Whatever.
All right.
Yeah, we should get back into it.
No. I got to say, like, when we started this movie, I absolutely loved the opening credits. It gave me huge Tim Burton vibes, and I just had a feeling that we were going to be in for a fucking shit show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely set the tone in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah. I thought the cartoon intro was really cool. It really did have the Tim Burton vibes. You know, there was a lot of instances, I feel like, in this movie that had Tim Burton vibes. Specifically, the scene where the creature is driving. Apparently, he knows how to drive a car.
I was so confused.
Yeah. So, do you remember the scene in Edward Scissorhands where he's driving the car? And just reminded me exactly of that. You know, the mother's in the passenger seat, and he's trying to drive, and he just looks, you know, Johnny Depp looking fucking weird as usual. And it just reminded me so much of that. So mm-hmm. There were a few instances I thought were pretty similar to, or like maybe just an influence to Tim Burton. So, yeah, we've been talking about Catherine 2 weeks in a row now. I think we can just fucking jump into a little bit more of this. So let me get to my fucking notes. I'm looking at your notes. So interesting thing about this. The critics score 51%, audience score 81%. Hell of a difference. I mean, would you say 81% is a pretty fair rating for this movie?
I mean, I think it's right about where I might put it because, I mean, I didn't give it a perfect score and, you know, that'll be later. But I did digest it a little bit after I watched it because I really wasn't sure what I wanted to rate it, especially where we have a horror podcast. Don't get me wrong. I like the movie.
Right.
It just didn't fit the genre to me. That's all.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, like I said, it felt more like a dark comedy than anything. But basically, this movie, it starts off, and immediately I'm thinking like, okay, I feel like we're going to get a fucking necrophilia scene in this movie. And, oh yeah, we did. We definitely did.
Yeah.
But
it happened.
I mean, I was calling it from the beginning. I'm like, there's no way we're not going to get some sort of scene where she's having sex with the creature.
Well, especially once you find what not the plot, but like what they're trying to do is he's trying to get all the body parts back that have rotted off.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the way it really starts off is that her mother was like axe murdered. And this is one of the plot holes later on in the film. So her mother was axe murdered. And so it was like her dad, her new stepmom, and her stepsister. And now they're all together and living as a family. Lisa definitely doesn't get along with the stepmother. They're always fucking fighting. The stepsister's pretty nice for the most part, but it's stark differences. I mean, you have Lisa, who's like, I would say kind of the nerdy, or not even nerdy, like goth girl, right? Or just a kind of the outcast. And then her sister, Taffy, she's actually more of like the popular one. So,
what a name.
I know. I was thinking
it's
that.
It's not
Taffy?
Even a nickname.
No. Who names their kid Taffy? Like, I was thinking maybe that's something short for something. I don't know. But no, that's her name.
Cool.
Okay.
Later, she sleeps with Lisa's boyfriend.
Oh. Yeah, that was rough. Oh, but that's when we get into the scene, the dick getting cut off.
He loses his dick.
Yeah, he deserves it. What a fucking dick. Or what a dickless.
The dick loses his dick.
Yeah, the dick loses his dick. He loses himself. So, Corey,
what did you think of the girl's name, though? The moment she said what her name was, I was like, oh, Steve's loving this.
Fucking Taffy?
No, Lisa Swallows.
Oh, my God, yeah. So at first, I'm like, I think that's a nickname. That's got to be a nickname. And then later on, the principal called out Lisa Swallows. I'm like, wait a second. The whole time her name is Lisa Swallows?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I heard this thing, and it's a theory like, or I don't know if it's a theory. It actually might be a known thing, is that people's last names were named after their professions. And this was like a long time ago, like carpenter or plumber. Like they were names like that, last names like that. So what the hell kind of job is that, Swallows? The earliest
I'll give you
profession.
One guess.
The oldest profession in the books, probably.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Either that or it's just like a professional drinker.
Yeah, I mean, in the next scene, we find out what her name is, and in the very next scene, she drinks a whole ass cup of PCP.
Yeah, and looking just like me on Eddie's.
She went to fucking space. I don't know how she was functioning.
Oh my God. That was so much PCP. How her do you fucking drink that much?
And her just friend like drugs her at a party and she's just tripping balls all over the place.
Oh my God. And then you got that fucking kid who
the decides. Creep.
Yeah.
I knew exactly where that was going. I'm like, this dude's going to be a creep. Mm-hmm. And I bet he's going to be a victim later on. Sure enough.
Oh, yeah. Sure enough. As soon as I saw her, like, about to hang out with him, I'm like, oh, yep, I know where this is going.
Yep.
Any guy's like, I'm about to get laid. I'll go into a graveyard. Fuck it.
So this is what I was talking about, though, where the music played a big part of it, because they played a rendition of that song, I Can See Clearly Now.
Yep.
And it was, like, slowed down, and was it sung by a woman? I don't remember that part,
I don't remember either. I know the music was great, but it's like, I don't remember scene by scene what was playing. I know in the dick cutting scene, it was like, and I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Yeah. On the Wings of Love.
That's it? Okay.
I did. I was writing down all that stuff because I'm like, this is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Again, music really does make some movies. Another movie that is amazing when it comes to music is Baby Driver.
You've seen that?
Oh
yeah, with Ansel Elgort.
Oh, okay. That's oh yeah, that is his name, isn't it?
Yeah. The movie was great, but Kevin Spacey was in that movie too, so
I know, but I mean, was he was kind of a main character, but a lot of it was just focused around, you know, Baby and the other members. Actually, well, I think they all had pretty good roles in that. I mean, Jamie Foxx was in it. John Hamm, he was in it. I thought it was great because like the movie, like all the stuff that was happening in it was all timed to music.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, that's what he did too, because he used the earphones to kind of calm himself down when he was being an exit driver. What do they call him? Escape driver?
Getaway driver. There it is.
Yeah.
But great movie. So music's super important in movies. However, there are some movies that don't have music. No Country for Old Men. No music in it whatsoever.
Dude, Javier Bardem is a legend on that one.
Oh, yeah. I was reading an interview he had. Or no, it was the directors. They wanted him specifically. And they were like, we want you to look like this. And he's like, I'm not going to get laid for months.
That's but hilarious.
He killed it in that role. Killed it. He also couldn't drive either. And there were a bunch of scenes where he's actually driving. So he didn't have a license.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Driving a movie around on a movie set.
Yeah. So
I want to rewatch that one. I love that movie.
Yeah, I haven't watched that in a while. It's a great movie. The ending
another
is very fucking
cast.
Weird. Yeah, stacked. Oh yeah. Big time stacked cast. Javier Bardem was fantastic in that movie. He was also in the movie Mother that I've always told you to check out and me never check out again.
Never seen it. Still haven't watched it. We should do an episode. Is that a horror movie?
It's, you know, I would think it'd fall along the lines of like psychological horror type deal. So, for instance, The Coffee Table. Would you consider it horror? It's more like psychological, a fucking just a shit show happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
So, Mother is basically like a shit show happening. So, it can be considered horror.
All right.
We'll check it out. But, okay, so Lisa's
the chase scene, though, where that song is playing?
What's
when the chase scene, when the creature is chasing Lisa?
Yeah.
Was so fucking funny because it was going through people's yards and nobody cared.
Not
that
at all.
Lisa's getting chased by a like a dead person.
Yeah. And she's like, she's hanging from the fucking roof and the creature comes out and he's just looking up like, what the fuck?
And then...
He catches her and she's running around in circles all over the place. And the neighbors are just like, oh, I think that's that Lisa girl. She's pretty fucking weird.
You know? Yeah. And then like they made it back inside the house and she tries to call for help and she had a shoe phone.
I need that phone.
I want a shoe phone.
Fuck yeah. Shoe phone, football phone. I want my Ghostbusters phone back. That's what I want.
Yeah. And then
I have one on eBay now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should buy one.
I might. I have a jack here from her phone. Got to plug shit in. Yeah.
I was going to say, nobody uses those anymore.
No. I just need to start giving my phone number out. It'll just be a house phone. And people will be like, why can't I ever get a hold of you? I'm like, oh, it's my house phone.
Sorry, I don't even have one anymore. I do. I still remember like my parents' landline number too. Like right off the top of my head.
Oh, I think we all remember our original numbers.
I should try calling it and see where it goes.
Yeah, see what happens. I remember the day. You ready for this? This is how old I am. I remember the day where we had to start adding area codes.
That was like a year ago.
No, it wasn't. Nope. Nope. Because I used to be able to do like you know, 555-5555, right? And I would call the person. But then the day hit where we had to do 555-555-5555. I'm like, what the fuck are these extra three numbers for? Like, this is bullshit. Wasting time.
I swear that didn't become a thing till recently. With cell phones, anyway.
With cell phones, maybe not, because I think it recognized the area code.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe. But I'm talking like landline. This is where I remember like area codes being required for landline. I remember vividly, I was sitting on my couch about to make a call and I couldn't call anyone. It's like, what is going on?
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
We're in 2024 now.
Yes, we are. It's a different time, my friend.
So right after the shoe phone thing, the creature started crying. And he was crying puke.
I don't know what it was, but it was green. And she said, when you cry, it smells like a hot toilet at a carnival.
That brings me back.
Oh, my God.
Or like a fair.
Oh, awful. Awful.
A hot toilet at a carnival.
Or the Palladium when...
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God. I heard a story.
I've seen some shit.
I heard a story. I think you may know this story. Of someone being dared to lick the floor of that bathroom.
Yes. Dude, I've seen people shit on that floor. I've seen blood all over those floors.
Oh my God. That guy's got like every single virus or he's just patient zero at this point.
He probably made $5 too, right?
Yeah, probably. Like $5. I can go buy half a drink.
Oh yeah.
The good
Palladium.
Times.
I hope the Palladium burns down.
Why?
I hate that place.
I like that place. I think it's got some like nostalgia to it.
Yep.
I think that's why I like it.
Time to burn it down.
Well, time to burn it down? Okay. Fair.
I'm never going to go back there if I don't have to.
Well, it's
I saw Sleep Token there last year.
That's actually what I was going to say. It's because you saw Sleep Token there and you had to put up with that bullshit.
Yeah, and they oversold by like 1,000 tickets and it was a fucking nightmare.
Oh, God. That must have been a fucking mess. Everyone just shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was brutal.
They should have just moved to the fucking Anganis Arena or something.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I think that would be, like, it would make sense because it's not ginormous, right? It's big enough to have where they could probably play it and it would sell out.
We saw them last week at the MGM in Fenway and it was perfect.
Was it?
Yeah, it was sold out and, like, I don't know if you've been. Oh, yeah, you went to that venue with me to see Judas Priest.
Fuck yeah, we did. VIP. But it's like,
yeah, that's right. But there was plenty of space in there. We were on the floor for it.
And no shit.
Yeah, sold out, but there's plenty of space to move around. You're not shoulder to shoulder with people.
Oh, that's good. Well, Palladium's usually good, but I guess not for Sleep Token. Sleep Token's
the
end.
Dude, I remember seeing the ghosts inside it. I saw the ghosts inside at the Palladium ones, and the fucking pieces of the ceiling were falling down.
Oh, my God.
I remember that day, man. Yeah, I was getting hit with, like, debris from the ceiling.
Yeah, that's not good.
That place is going to collapse one of these days.
Yeah, I don't want to be involved in that collapse.
Nope. No, it'll be a great white situation.
Yeah, no. There's plenty of exits, and I know them all in that place.
Perfect.
Yeah, the great white situation, one exit. That is the equivalent of fused together and revolving doors.
We're going to hear that on Sunday.
Yes, we are. I want that vinyl.
They're going to have some, apparently.
We'll see. A bunch of people pre-ordered already.
No, I know, but there's going to be copies there for pickup, like you can buy it there.
Oh, good. Okay. So maybe
but
I'll
I don't
be
know how many they
one.
Save, so.
I don't know. Maybe people be like, I don't play vinyl. And I'll be like, yeah, I do. All right.
Movie.
Movie. Let's get back into it. Okay. So when he cries, it smells, I guess, like a fucking toilet at a carnival. So every time he cries, it's just fucking horrendous for her. And she's just freaking out every time. But she starts being super nice to this guy. She finds out that it's like her love interest, the one she hangs out with at his tombstone. So that's why the creature's there. Is because she was hanging out by his tombstone all the time and, like, you know, talking to him and leaving her cross that her mom gave her, a rosary that her mom gave her to him, and he brought it back to her. And then she starts, like, just being, I guess, buddy-buddy with him.
She gives him a shower.
Yeah, she gives him a shower. He obviously likes her, and my poor dude gets fucking friend-zoned hard for a while. Oh, my God.
Well, he doesn't have a dick.
Dude came back from the fucking grave and gets friend-zoned. It's like, holy shit, throw him a fucking bone. And later on, she realizes, like, oh my God, you do like me. Yeah. Out of the friend zone, only took him after death to make it happen. Gives us hope.
Did she know him before he died?
No.
Okay,
no,
she didn't. I was like, did I miss something?
No, you didn't miss anything. She would just hang out by his tomb. No.
His grave, because yeah, there was a statue of his head on top, like on top of the tomb, whatever.
Yeah.
And she liked it.
Exactly.
And she was like, why can't you be like alive?
And then he became alive. And
yeah. Struck by lightning like Jason, came back.
Yep. The best one, by the way. Uh-huh. I found my fucking Jason 6 NECA the other day. It was just buried away somewhere.
Still going to get him on here.
Oh, we will. We will. I think our email went to his spam.
He blocked us.
He blocked us. I don't know. I try to be optimistic.
All right. Well, I like that. You're better than me.
Yeah. I try to be optimistic about it. So, all right. Yeah, we've barely even scratched the surface of this movie. It's not a long one anyway, so it's like an hour and a half, right? Something like
that. Yeah.
It's
a really easy watch, though.
It is an easy watch.
So did the woman who played Janet, like, was she acting like shit on purpose? Because, like, every time she was on screen, I was cringing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You think she did it on purpose?
I think she was playing a shit human being real good.
I'm not talking about a shit human being. Like, she could not act.
Oh, you're talking her stepmom, right?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, she was in a lot of movies.
She was absolutely a shit human being, but, like, yeah, so, she's been in a ton of movies. Her name is Carla Gugino.
Yeah. Yeah, so you think she's you think she can act, or do you think maybe she was just overacting? Because you know when people overact, that's when it's like it really shows. Like, oh, okay, this is too much. We've seen plenty of that, like the Heather Graham movie we reviewed, which we won't talk about anymore because we upset a bunch of people.
Yeah. Oh yes, we did. No, I think it was just bad acting.
Oh, okay. Bad acting. I mean, I thought she was fine. I thought she played the abrasive stepmom that you just kind of wanted to hate, or you really wanted to hate. I think that she pulled it off well. So in that aspect, yes, I thought she did well. But yeah, a little bit. I could see that. I could see that she was like trying a little too hard to be fucking hated.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Maybe trying too hard to be hated. It's fair enough. Yeah, but we get to this point, though, where we find out, obviously, he's missing a hand. He's dead. He needs body parts. So the stepmom and Lisa, they get in this fight, and then the creature fucking nails her from behind, just kills the stepmom.
Brains her with a sewing machine.
Yep. Brains her, blood everywhere. And then he cuts off her ear, and he's holding it to Lisa like, you know, you got to do something with this, like, because he can't talk at the moment. He doesn't, like, have a tongue or whatever. I think it was probably just eaten by worms or something. I don't know. Because he kept dropping bugs all the time. So those things were probably still eating his insides.
Yeah, we forgot to mention. So you did mention the bug thing. But at one point, he gets pissed at Janet. And he walks over when she walks away from her breakfast. And he pukes in her cereal.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just worms.
Yep. And that's when the fight happened. Because she had a worm in her cereal, or whatever the fuck she was eating, and then she went and got in this ginormous argument with Lisa, and that's when then she got brained by the creature.
He was hiding in the closet, and he just clips her with a sewing machine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Lisa sews the ear on, and it doesn't work. It's just kind of on the side of his head.
Right, so, and he's got, I love the fact that they left the earring in, earrings.
The whole time.
Yeah.
It was great. But I don't remember how they figured out that the tanning bed would bring life to the body parts. Do you remember how she figured that out? I couldn't remember how she figured that out. I know, like, earlier in the film when she was going to get tanned before the party that she got, like, electrocuted.
No, I don't remember either.
See, I don't remember that either.
I don't know if they explained it, honestly.
No, I don't think so either. So this is where I was kind of talking about some plot holes. I don't remember them explaining, like, it almost seemed like one of those, oh, I have an idea. Let's try something. And, you know, go and sit in the friggin' tanning booth, and it brought it to life. And that's what they used going forward, because obviously we know Dr. Frankenstein, he needed lightning in order to bring the monster to life. So she used electricity from a tanning bed to bring the creature body parts to life. And his tanning bed is important because it's used basically throughout the whole entire movie.
That just sounds so funny. A tanning bed is important.
I know. A tanning bed gives like life to limbs that are just hanging off the creature. So this is when like she starts going forward and like, and they, oh wait, this is, I got to talk about this though, because the way they disposed the mother, it was so half-assed. They basically threw the mother in a like a hole, and then she just kind of fucking walked away. It's like, someone's going to find that body pretty fucking quick. I mean, do you expect the creature to freaking bury her? I don't think so. You got to help him out. like they both stormed off. So yeah. No resolve there. I'm just thinking like they threw her in a hole and that's that.
She'll decompose now. She's with the worms.
Yep, she's with the woods. She's one with the woods. So, all right. And then Lisa starts channeling her dark side and she starts wearing all black. All this.
She turns into Wednesday Addams.
Basically turns into Wednesday Addams. All of a sudden, every guy in fucking school is like, oh, wow. Kind of reminded me of, what's the movie? Oh, Jennifer's Body.
Oh, yeah. Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. You know, she's walking down the hall now, like, ultra sexy because she's, like, fucking evil. And every guy's like, whoa, look at that.
Yep.
We like our goth girls.
You do.
I do. I'm a maniac, though. So, yeah, she starts going forward and just finding ways to get body parts for the creature. So, we obviously talked about what's his name earlier, the fucking kid that tried to try something with her when she was fucking high on PCP. And she lures him into the cemetery, and then they cut off his hand because the creature needed a hand. And then the kid's running away, and of course, fucking the creature throws an axe. Apparently, this creature has got some killing skills for sure. So you got to wonder what he was doing way back in the day. It was like that is the thing. He was just like this homicidal maniac. We don't know. We know he was single.
Yeah,
he
unmarried.
Unmarried.
Is that what his gravestone said?
Yeah. I was like, that's going to be my gravestone.
I was thinking the same thing, Steve.
Perfect. Glad we're on the same page. So now this kid's dead. But this is where I'm like, okay, none of this is making sense. Because no one's making a fuss about this kid going missing. But then, like, literally a few scenes later, they're like, did you hear someone went missing? I'm like, oh, okay. I just put my foot in my mouth. So I was thinking that he was just going to go missing, this kid, and they weren't even going to say anything about it. They ended up doing, like, trying to find out who it was. And I don't even think they narrowed it down to Lisa because they saw someone matching her description with him. But this is where the insanity ensues. She wanted to go see that boy she liked. So she wanted to go see him, and then she finds out that her sister is sleeping with him. So I'm probably missing some things in between, but that's okay. We don't have to give everything away, Corey.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's they're supposed to go watch the movie.
Exactly.
Listen to 30 minutes of spoilers and then go watch the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're just giving you the hits here. So this is the scene where she decides she's going to go and have sex with this guy and lose her virginity to him. Obviously, this is after her and the creature had a little fun time, you know, with a massager. And, you know, he's going through a closet and he sees this thing. She's like, that's a back massager. Okay, got it.
I'm not going to lie. I always thought those things were back massagers, too.
Sure. They look it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So she's like, that's a back massager. And then her and the creature are sleeping in the same bed now. And then she's like, you know, you don't always use that for your back. And this is the funny part. I love this part. This one had me fucking laughing out loud.
Oh, when they're downstairs and she's just screaming from upstairs and you can hear it.
And she goes, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you see the lights flicker.
Yep.
That had me fucking dying, dude. Oh, my God. I thought that was hysterical. So the scene where she's about to go into this kid's house, she wants to lose her virginity to him. She sees him hooking up with his sister. And then the guy goes, you know, I didn't have a thing for you and all this. And then here we go. Fucking the creature storms in with an axe. Just right away goes for the dick. Cuts it off. It lands in a trash barrel. The creature grabs it and walks out. Actually, no, he doesn't walk out just yet. He goes to kill the sister, and Lisa stops him. But then he grabs the trash can and walks out. And the soundtrack, we were talking about this. The soundtrack in this part was fucking gold, man. It was so good. It was so fucking funny.
Was this the REO Speedwagon cover?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's fucking great. So REO Speedwagon's playing. The creature cuts off the kid's dick, goes airborne, lands in the garbage. He's about to kill her sister. Lisa stops the creature from killing her sister. He runs off, and Lisa and her sister, they get together, they go in a car. She's freaked the fuck out. She's in shock from seeing, you know, the guy she was just sleeping with murdered. So Lisa knows exactly where to go. The creature left an axe behind. She goes to grab it, and she's ready to go and kill the creature. But the creature then shows that he got the dick so that he could be her first. And now, like, this is where Lisa's like, oh, my God, you wanted to be with me. You love me, that type thing. Cop comes up. Creature throws the cop into like a grave and they run off. And now, again, Lisa, she decides to fucking sew the dick on and they go to the tanning booth. you know, to give it life. And for some reason, the creature is able to like walk around perfectly fine now, because for the most part, he was limping around. So I was wondering, like, did he get new legs and all of a sudden he's able to just fucking walk all over the place fine?
I was confused too, because they never quite explained why he was looking more human every time too. Like every time you went in the tanning bed,
yeah,
he kind of looked a little more human.
I think it's the tanning, man.
Steve, you should try that.
Maybe, but that's how I have my milky white skin. How I look like a goth kid, and I look like I'm fucking 30 instead of 50.
Oh, all right then.
I'm not 50.
Want to do that then.
No, I look a little bit younger for my age, I think, because I don't do any of the tanning stuff.
Yeah, who told you that?
Plenty of people.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe. I think they're all just being nice. Perhaps.
Maybe.
So, maybe. So, yeah, they're dancing. He puts a ring on her. It's one of those peach ring deals. And then they get to work. And you see this epic scene, similar to, like, at the beginning, right, where you had, like, the cartoon shit happening. It kind of reminded me of the scene in Anchorman, where Ron Burgundy and Veronica Corningstone had sex, and it was like this, I freaking love you, I freaking love you back, that type deal. So that's what that scene reminded me of. They had, like, you know, the rocket going, which is a clear indicator of a dick.
Yeah, you're not
they're
wrong.
They're riding a rocket to the moon. It lands in, like, the eye of the moon, and then they cut away. Now Lisa's like, in order for us to really be together, I have to go into the tanning booth and you have to fucking crank the thing. So Lisa wants him to kill her. So he cranks the fucking thing up. She dies. The place is set ablaze.
I was lost here.
About like why she would want to kill herself just to be with him?
Well, no, that part I get. But why do it in the fucking why do you want to cook yourself alive? You can't think of a less painful way to do it? Like shooting yourself in the head or something?
You won't feel it.
You'll be dead right away.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have access to a gun,
but there are plenty
of other options.
Right. He could have hit her with the axe or hit her in the head with a sewing machine.
He could have taken a needle and make sure there was like an air bubble in there. Boom. Pumping in the vein.
Right.
Heart attack. Done.
Nope. She chose to literally lay in a tanning bed and fry herself.
Yep. And I think this may have been kind of symbolic to Bride of Frankenstein. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because obviously... It's been a long time. But same deal. Frankenstein's monster can't not have a wife. So in comes Bride of Frankenstein. However, she died. And in the next scene, you see the father and the stepsister. They're at her grave. And the stepsister looks down and is like, what the hell? It says on her gravestone, loving wife. So Lisa's considered married to the creature. And then next scene, we see the creature, now basically a full-blown human being, like reading a book and talking to Lisa, and she's all wrapped up in friggin', I don't know, binding? She was almost looking like a mummy.
Yeah, I was going to say, very much like a mummy. Maybe it was the cover of the burned skin.
Yeah, so very much looking like a mummy, and you think she's dead, and then she moves. End scene, fade to black, that's it. It felt like a very rushed ending.
It was.
Yeah.
There was really, I mean, I guess they live happily ever after, right?
Right, right.
But like, why is he fucking reading to her?
I don't know. But
and it was like an old-timey type book that he was reading.
Oh, yeah. Of course. You think he's going to read Maxim magazine or something?
Oh, yeah. And we forgot to mention, obviously, the reading, but if you didn't catch on, he's speaking now.
Yep. That's why I'm like going with the full-blown human being is that, yes, he can now speak. Apparently, he's got a tongue. He's perfectly fine. Like, he'd pass as a normal human being in public. Obviously, he'd be a little weird with the sideburns, but people would look at him and not think anything weird. So, that's how it ends. Corey, what do you give Lisa Frankenstein?
I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5. I didn't hate it, but I'm definitely never going to watch it again. And I can't help but see that kid. So, the kid that played the creature played Julian in Big Daddy. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, so Cole
no
Sprouse.
No way. Come
Cole,
on.
Well, Cole Sprouse and his twin brother, they switched off to play that
no.
role.
Are you kidding me? Holy shit, you're blowing my dick off right now. Give me a sec. I have to see this.
You don't believe me?
I just need to see it for my own eyes. That's all. Because I just didn't picture it. Wow, I did not expect that. Lisa Frankenstein. Okay, let's... I could see that.
You know what's funny? Because his nickname in that movie was Frankenstein.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, he was Frankenstein and Big Daddy.
Yep.
Oh, it all comes full circle. That's his whole career, just playing Frankenstein.
Yeah, so this whole Adam Sandler thing that we've been talking about on this podcast for fucking seems like forever now is actually like, it is coming full circle.
Yeah. Wow, look at that. Holy shit.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
I did not. Wow, my mind is blown right now, man.
Yeah, it's him all grown up.
Wow. Oh, so, good for him.
Yeah, so I thought the Frankenstein makeup or the creature or whatever was pretty fucking terrible. And yeah. I don't really understand the title of the movie. Like, why was it called Lisa Frankenstein? He was more of a zombie than...
You know, I was thinking that too. Is Frankenstein a zombie? And to answer your question, I would say yes.
Yeah, but like, but I don't know. I don't understand it. And the Lisa Frankenstein part really doesn't come into play until the end of the movie because she dies.
So, yes.
Yeah, so... Whatever. I think the title's a little strange.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. It's fun. So for me, 3 out of 5, same deal. It was funny. So basically, I think a dark comedy, again, mixing, again, like we're talking, mixing comedy with horror. This seems to be a trend lately with us, which, whatever, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Abigail worked this one to an extent.
A little mid-tier.
Like Abigail, though, like the comedy on that, I thought was timed very perfect.
Oh, yeah, I was light years better than this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were some questions about parts of this movie that felt unanswered. For instance, what happened to the axe murderer? We don't fucking know.
We saw about, what, like, say 20 seconds of that whole scene?
Yeah.
With the mom getting murdered?
Yeah, there was a pivotal scene that was, like, showing what happened with her and how she became the way she is. So they never caught the guy. So I'm thinking, like, precursor, he killed her mother. Later on in the film, comes back to kill Lisa, and the creature gets in a fight with him. That's immediately what I'm thinking.
It would make sense because they never explained how the creature got the axe.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, that's true. Like the creature, what if the creature somehow was the axe murderer?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it'd be possible. There'd be no real way of spinning that other than he's a full-blown zombie and he comes out whenever.
Yeah.
So don't know what happened with the axe murderer. I was fully expecting that to be revisited later on in the film, but it wasn't. Like I said, the end felt a little rushed. Good, not great. If it was on TV, I'd watch it again, but probably wouldn't go out of my way to watch it.
Yeah, I had to watch this on Cock-a-Pee-Pee, so there was commercials.
Oh, yeah, I know the struggle. So same thing for me. I don't pay for Cock-a-Pee-Pee. I just get it through my internet provider, and I deal with the commercials, whatever. Commercials don't bother me unless it's fucking
Plex.
Whoa. Hate it.
That made Headless so much worse for you.
Yeah. I was fucking done for the rest of the day after that. Like, not like, let alone the movie, but the commercials, I was like, this is absolutely absurd. This is like Snapchat commercial absurd.
I don't have a Snapchat, so I don't know how bad that is.
It's bad. They have these stories where the like videos like Box Office Mojo has something, right? You're like, oh, cool. You watch a Box Office Mojo thing on like a short story. 3 seconds in commercial. I just opened this fucking story. Oh, my God. Okay.
Gotta pay for that free content.
Yeah, I guess so. It's every few seconds, so it's very micro content, micro video content type deal. So the commercials happen very fast and frequent. So it's like the Plex of social media apps.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. It's fun to chat on, though, with some people, but I'm too old for it. But the girls like it.
Goth girls?
All girls, for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's an age thing. Like, a certain age bracket likes Snapchat. So
I see
it's
people
like,
at concerts doing Snapchats. I'm like, you fucking loser. Just make a fucking video of it. Like, a little clip for yourself, and then, like, send it to your friends. Why do you gotta broadcast that shit?
I don't know, man. You know, sometimes I'll do, like, next day, like, this was sick. You know, post it the next day. I'm not going to do it during the concert because
or those dickheads that live stream.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, fuck those people. Okay. No, I'm not going to say that.
You do that, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't because I like to be in the moment. So when I'm at a concert, I'm not trying to be on my phone the whole time. I might take a 30-second video clip.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. That's perfectly acceptable, but that, like we were talking earlier at Sleep Token, there was this dude in front of us that fucking live streamed the whole thing. I'm like, are you kidding? Not only are you an asshole for doing that, but you're blocking the view of someone behind you.
Yep. And the whole time, here's the thing though, when you're live streaming, you're prone to look at the phone. So you're watching a concert that you're at through your phone. It's so dumb.
That's why I like seeing Tool live, because they don't allow that shit. Like, you legit get thrown out for recording.
Yeah. Tool does it. A Perfect Circle does it because, well, Maynard's in both.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. I I'm on the fence about it. It makes absolute sense because the artist wants you to enjoy your fucking money that you paid to see them.
Tom Segura did it too when we saw him.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? I did see Tool a few years ago. So, whole show, no one used their phones. And at the end of the show, during Stinkfest, Maynard's like, okay, now you can take your phones out.
Yeah, he does that.
See, so he just wants people to enjoy the show, and now you can get your clip. Or everyone else has the same clip, so no one's special.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, Maynard.
Yeah, well, Maynard's got the right idea.
Well played, bud. Well played.
You should do that at the next Summon show. Tell people they're not allowed to use phones or throw them out.
Just put them all in a bucket.
Get those, like, those, what are they, yonder bags they're called?
What is a yonder bag?
If you look it up, it's legit, like, what Kevin Hart does it. When you walk into one of his shows, they hand these things out at the door. They're called yonder bags. And you put your phone in it, and it's essentially, it's locked until you leave the venue.
What?
Yep.
Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart does it. Bill Burr does it.
What? Oh, man. Okay. Wow, I've never seen that happen.
You should do that at Summon shows.
Yeah, oh my God, that would be funny.
Yeah, so it's like, you know how when you like buy clothing at a store and it's got that ink thing on it?
Mm-hmm.
So the yonder bags have the same thing. It's like sort of the same thing. So when you put your phone in, it closes. And then when you leave, the person at the door will scan it and it will unlock the magnetic thing so you can get your phone out.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
That is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, just put a dye pack on all the phones.
You touch it, you turn blue.
Yep. Your whole pocket just explodes. It would piss so many people off. Venues would be furious because there's ink everywhere. Everyone's trying to go in their phone and fucking get an Uber or something. It's like, what the fuck?
Just explodes.
Yep. It's pissing everyone off. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.